oversight body that was balanced, that had some reasonableness to it, and that did not discriminatorily select who was going to be on it. Because if you give a person the opportunity to discriminate and then mandate it in law that you shall exclude all people of one group, you're going to end up with a result that has nothing to do with objective thinking. You're going to end up with a predetermined result because it was predetermined by the people that you mandated be selected. And when you put in a mandatory discriminatory clause like this, it reeks of conduct that we outlawed in Georgia. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment number 7 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
16 yeas, 23 nays.
Amendment 7's failed. Does the clerk please read Amendment 8?
Mr. Speaker, just for fitties.
Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 9 by Furness, page 2, line 28, delete the.
Madam Clerk, I think we're needing to read amendment number 8.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 8 is not being offered.
I withdrew that, Mr. Speaker. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Amendment number 9.
Amendment number 9 by Furness, page 2, line 28, delete the. Delete 29, chair, insert a majority of the council.
Mr. Speaker, probably what I should do is withdraw the original amendment number 9 and...
Without objection, amendment number 9 has been withdrawn.
I will move the new amendment number 9 and I'll explain it. It's at the clerk's desk, it's being distributed.
The clerk please read new amendment number 9.
It's being duplicated now. Amendment number 9 by Furness, page 2 on line 28, delete the. On a delete on 29, chair, insert a majority of the council.
Mr. Furness, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent here, we've acknowledged that the council is to receive monies from the Legislative Council. Legislative Affairs Agency is to set up a system by which to account for those funds. The intent of this amendment is to assure that a majority of the council shall approve all expenditure documents. So this would be prior to submitting to Legislative Council for funding. This is especially important in reimbursement of funds there. It is to prevent, now, under the current reading of this, only the chairperson of that is required to approve those expenditure documents. In this case, it simply says that a majority of the council have 5 members, so 3 members must be present. I assume that the director or whoever will share a invoice with the council and said we're going to ask for reimbursement based upon this, and that should take care of it. It would certainly give us a good paper record, not only external of the council but internal of the council in terms of making sure that the funds, and I note that there's some $230,000 involved here, that those funds are spent properly.
Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment would, well, let's take a specific example, Mr. Speaker. Say we have 5 people on this council. One is from Anchorage, hopefully one is from Kodiak, one is from Fairbanks, Southeast, and Western Alaska. Does this mean then that before that these people can get together for one of their 4 or 5 meetings in a year, that they all have to approve the cost of their tickets to get to probably Anchorage, where we have most of our meetings in this state?
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment number 9 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
17 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment fails. Does the clerk have additional amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move an unanimous consent. Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 578 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final pass.
There's objection. Ready for the question? The question for the House: shall House Bill 578 advance from second to third reading on the same legislative day? It requires 30 votes. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the rolls. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
23 yeas, 16 nays.
Motion to advance has failed. The bill will appear in tomorrow's calendar, on tomorrow's calendar, in third reading. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 88 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to investment securities under the Uniform Commercial Code. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows with a zero note with analysis. Signing DuPass, Boyer, Grunberg, and Lehman. Signing no recommendation, Donnelly, Finkelstein, Boucher, and Collins. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows. Signing DuPass, Grunberg, Martin, and Ellis. Having no recommendation, Gall, Miller, and M. Davis. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that Senate Bill 88 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the bill has been advanced from second to third reading. Clerk, please read the bill for the third time.
Senate Bill 88 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to investment securities under the Uniform Commercial Code.
Some discussion. Ready for the question? Mr. Grunberg.
Just for the members' information, there is a technical amendment that can be cured by the bill drafters without going through the amendment process, and that is on page 13, line 23, after the word statement, there's a typo, and it should have the word for, F-O-R, so it should be statement for value.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I noted in reviewing the legislation that we are deleting from coverage under our existing statute where possession by secured party perfects security interest without filing. That's on page 56. We are removing certificated security from each of those provisions and yet inserting certificated securities in several other significant areas. In fact, that seems to be one of the main thrusts of the legislation. And I wondered if the chairman of the Judiciary Committee could explain to us what is the problem that has existed with certificated securities and why, in fact, do we need to amend the Uniform Commercial Code as significantly as we are here. I realize it's an 80, I guess, or 50-some page of bill, and it's rather complex, but I was hoping he might be able to provide us with an explanation of that.
Here we have a brief answer.
How's the standard ease? House, please come back to order.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Grunberg.
Yes, and I appreciated the question. Just first to answer the minority leader's technical question, he was referring on page 53, lines 21 and 22. We're adding the parenthetical. This bill is an amendment to the Uniform Commercial Code. 35 states had adopted it last year. 40 states have adopted it as of this year. Of the remaining 10 states, 4 of the states are considering it in the legislatures. What it does is it brings the securities provisions of the UCC into conformance with modern banking practices. Security instruments used to be pieces of paper. Now, with the advent of, I guess my friend the chair of the State Affairs Committee would say, the electronic age, they're doing what are called wire transfers. And they don't actually give you certificates. It's all in some memory bank in a computer. And all the bill does is have a new term that's called an uncertificated security. And this is a document where you don't actually have the certificate that says 35 shares of the Ace Gold Mining Company. You have it in your computer. And this term certificated and uncertificated security is defined at the beginning of the bill, Mr. Speaker, if the members would look at Section 5 on page 2. An uncertificated security is a security which is a stock or bond that is not represented by an instrument, and an instrument means a piece of paper, but which is registered on books maintained for that purpose in the home office. And there are a few minor other things in here, but you don't have a piece of paper. And all the bill does is it goes through this whole chapter in the UCC, and they're talking in some cases about certificated securities, in other cases about non-certificated, uncertificated securities, and it just conforms to the definition. And it's a long bill because there are a lot of sections that are affected, but that's all it does. And we had a subcommittee in the Judiciary Committee, and my friend, the representative from District 13, minority member who sits on that committee, the Judiciary Committee, and I were the subcommittee, and we went through this thing at great length, and he's not here, but I know I'm speaking for him. We feel very comfortable, and we can see the bill hasn't been amended by anybody, and I hope it passes and gets strong support. Thank you.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes, thank you for the response. Since this now will allow banks to transfer, in essence, electronically or by wire funds, did the subcommittee, in reviewing that, also discuss the manner in which interest will be credited to those depositors and the manner in which float will be taken care of? Because my understanding, that's a major issue involved in this process, as to whether or not the citizens of the state of Alaska will benefit from allowing this to occur, or will only the banks benefit from allowing this to occur? Because I think that's kind of crucial, at least it is to me on this one, is to how, since we're going to allow them to zip transfer the funds, do you start gaining interest or losing interest upon that transfer, or does only the bank gain for that extra 2 or 3 days before they change that float? And I think this chairman can answer that for you.
Mr. Judiciary Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The answer to the question of whether we discussed that issue, we did not, while I was present at the meetings, discuss that particular issue. My understanding is that this would have no effect on the accrual of interest. It simply allows the uncertificated securities to exist. It does not affect the change of interest. And I'm as concerned if that is in fact a problem, and will commit to work with the minority leader on that, but that's not covered by this bill, and nobody has ever mentioned that. I don't think that that's intended to be addressed. It's simply to address the fact that a lot of these securities are no longer pieces of paper, but they're an entry in a data bank.
Thank you, Speaker.
Mr. Rieger?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one question that came to my mind flipping through the bill. On page 8, line 10, it says, it refers to the pledge of a pledge to a secured party or a person, and I'm wondering if that is to preclude a pledge to several persons, for example, a brother and sister who jointly own some stock or so on, and I wonder if that is deliberate, that it's restricted to a person.
Mr. Grinberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm quite sure it's not limited to a single person. You could have, for example, a pledge that was pledged to alternative pledgees or lenders, or they could be jointly, you could owe money to two people who've jointly lent you a sum of money. It's not limited to a single person. That's certainly not the intent, at least as far as I know.
Ready for the question?
Just for the record, we didn't specifically discuss that, and I can look into it further, but it certainly would not appear to be the intent.
Ready for the question? Question before the House. Shall Senate Bill number 88 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
29 yeas, 1 nay.
Senate Bill 88 passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 250, State Affairs by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the confidentiality of research conducted by the University of Alaska. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the House Committee substitute by the Judiciary Committee with the same title and due pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. Concurring, Grunberg, Ellis, Miller, and Gall. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 250 be considered to remove the original bill.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute's been adopted and move the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Schultz, you wish the floor?
Mr. Speaker, it seems like a lot of people off the floor to me. So I'll gaze around here. I get a little concerned. Well, I'll place a call in the House. I don't like being here on Saturdays, Sundays,
you need to discuss it further, Mr. Schultz. You may place a call anytime you wish.
Got it.
There's a call placed on the House. Representative Martin, Representative Hoffman, Boyer, Menard, Cabina, McLean, Blackhammer. We'll stand at ease until the call is satisfied. Well, I understand that you have something to say here.
37 Mr. Speaker, I lift the call.
All right.
Maybe we can get on with things.
Does the clerk have amendments to Senate Bill 250?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Grunberg?
I'd like to introduce, I'm sure Representative Swackhammer and I would like to have a few guests we'd like to introduce.
Without objection under introductions, Mr.
Thank
Grunberg.
You. We have a couple of unexpected young visitors in the gallery, and I'll introduce one and leave the others for Representative Swackhammer. The young fellow to the right there in the blue and yellow is Daniel, who's back again today, and please help me welcome Daniel Brooks.
Call's lifted. Mr. Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the one that was still clapping when everybody else sat down is my son, Tyler. And my most important constituent, my wife.
Brings us back to today's calendar. The clerk doesn't have amendments to Senate Bill 250. Mr. Majority Leader.
For Senate Bill 250 to be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Mr. Taylor?
Just if I might ask a question of whoever's carrying the bill on the floor, Mr. Speaker, to explain to us the difference between the Senate version and that which came out of Judiciary.
Mr. Boyer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The original bill that was introduced by the governor had a provision at one point which would have the Senate CS in State Affairs changed the language requiring that the title of the research project be made public. In addition, they added the funding agency and the person performing the research. Those items would be a part of the information that would be made public. And when the bill was before the Judiciary Committee, there were three other changes made. The exemption for research apparently was felt to be too broad, and so the Judiciary CS provided that protection would be only for things called intellectual property and proprietary information. I can go through those definitions if the person asking the question cares. The other change was that the exemption from the Open Meetings Act was removed. And also, there was an interest in making sure that if, in fact, there was no publication, patent, or copyright, that there was, in fact, some finality or some time certain that the information would, in fact, be made public. So the phrase, until the research is terminated, was added so that there is finality in that process absent a patent or publication or copyright. And those are the changes from the original bill.
Taylor?
Yes, thank you for the explanation. I withdraw my objection to advancement.
Is there further objection? Hearing no objection, the bill's been advanced for second and third reading on the same legislative day. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 250 Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the confidentiality of research conducted by the University of Alaska.
Ready for the question? Question before the House is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 250, Judiciary, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please take the roll?
39 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 250 is passed the House. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 370 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act expanding the Public Employees Retirement Board and the Teachers Retirement Board to include two physician members to hear disability appeals. Dissolving the Public Employees and Teachers Disability Review Board and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill, recommends it do pass. Concurring, Menard, Finkelstein, McLean, and Boucher. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
370 be considered engrossed to advance third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the bill has been advanced to second and third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 370 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act expanding the Public Employees Retirement Board and the Teachers Retirement Board to include two physician members to hear disability appeals. Dissolving the Public Employees and Teachers Disability Review Board and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that when the governor was required to make these appointments, these two physicians, would it be okay if one of those physicians had worked for an oil company at some time?
Ready for the question?
Question.
Question before the House. Shall Senate Bill Number 370 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 370 is passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move the effective date clause. I ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Joint Resolution Number 96 by the Transportation Committee, relating to reconstructing and paving parts of the Alaska Highway as authorized in the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1973. The Transportation Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Concurring, Hudson, Lehman, Foster, and Kubina. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Is there objection to the amendment? There is objection. Mr. Copeland, you have the floor.
Thank you. The amendment adds the Honorable Brian Mulroney, Prime Minister of Canada, and the Honorable Audrey McLaughlin, Member of Parliament of the Yukon Territory, the Honorable Tony Pennicott, Premier of the Yukon Territory, and the Honorable Morris Biblo, Minister for Community and Transportation Services, who are the counterparts of the people who will receive the petition on the American side.
Is objection maintained? Is there objection?
I'm not objecting, Mr. Speaker, but I just make sure that they check the spelling on these names. Mulroney is misspelled for one, so it sends something to somebody that's about proper spelling.
The clerk is hereby instructed to ensure the proper spelling. Thank you, Mr. Pettijohn. Mr. Kopanen?
Thank you. I'm glad that point was brought up. I was unsure of the spelling of the name. But I'd also like to point out that from the Canadian point of view, the spelling of honorable for the Canadians does include the U, so if I'd admit to it that way.
There's a question. Is there objection maintained to the amendment? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment's been adopted. Does the clerk have additional amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 96 amended be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the resolution has been advanced from second to third reading.
Mr. Speaker, just a point of parliamentary procedure. It's very difficult to hear the majority leader on occasion. I don't know whether it's the microphone that's not working or something, but if he'd just speak up a little bit, that would help. We have no objection to your advance of motion.
Would the clerk please read the resolution for the third time?
House Joint Resolution 96, amended by the Transportation Committee, relating to reconstructing and paving parts of the Alaska Highway as authorized in the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1973.
Ready for the question?
Question.
Question for the House is, shall House Joint Resolution number 96, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please take the roll?
39 yeas, no nays.
It's Chair 96, passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, there are 9 citations on today's calendar. Honoring Very Special Arts Alaska, honoring Robert N. Jones, honoring Copper Center school teachers, staff, and students, honoring Birchwood Civil Air Patrol Squadron, 1989 Alaska Civil Air Patrol Squadron of the Year, honoring Alaska All-Stars Hockey Association Bantam A's, honoring Kevin David Murphy, honoring U.S. Representative Ben Nighthorse Campbell of Colorado, honoring United States Senator Daniel Inouye, in memoriam Barbara May Pinnow, and I'll move and ask unanimous consent citations be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, those citations have been approved. Brings us to unfinished business. There is a motion pending to allow the withdrawal of House Bill 166 under unfinished business. Is there objection to that motion? Is there objection? Ready for the question? The question for the House is, shall the sponsor of House Bill 166 be allowed to withdraw the bill? Is there objection?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I maintain my objection to that motion.
Mr. Speaker,
I'm in favor of
Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall the sponsor be allowed to withdraw House Bill 166? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
34 yeas, 5 nays.
Motion passes. The bill's withdrawn. Further unfinished business come before the House. Are there announcements? Mr. Davis?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up the reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 528.
House Bill 528 is before you in third reading. Mr. Davis?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I voted for this legislation yesterday, but I'm gonna oppose it today. And the reasons I am doing that is because I believe that, one, we can have the our legal counsel draft this, but the concern I have about this legislation is that this new body that was to be created would be housed in the executive branch of the state government, and I don't think that that the governing council should be housed in the executive branch, and that's my concern on the legislation, so I'm going to oppose it. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Mr. Gall? Excuse me. Clerk, please read the bill for the third time. Thank you.
House Bill 528, title amended by Collins, Boucher, Lehman et al. An act requesting the Division of Legal Services relating to the laws governing standards of conduct by public officers and an act requesting the Division of Legal Services of the Legislative Affairs Agency to prepare a bill relating to the laws governing standards of conduct by public officers and employees and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I voted for this, I believe, yesterday, and I'm going to support it again today. And if I just may provide a few comments, I've looked at this piece of legislation. I've also read the very large bill that's being at least reviewed in the subcommittee, and I think that there are somewhat some compatibility there. It is not clear to me that we will be able to pass the main ethics bill this half of the session. And in lieu of that, I understand that COGO, one of the national organizations that is more closely related to the legislative process, I believe they may be working with NCSL, is currently drafting a major ethics bill, taking in consideration the statutes in all 50 states. And that vehicle will be available. It's my understanding with this that the Ledge Affairs Group will be able to take the Kogel recommendation, of which I'm sure that our legislative affairs representatives are a member of, take that and draft a document for this body's consideration. And I think it's an excellent vehicle. In fact, this bill is an excellent vehicle to be used just in case we do not find sufficient support for the document that the Senate has introduced. So with that, I would certainly hope the members will still preserve the ability of an alternative document. It is an issue that we all have some concern with. The big question is, what is the better vehicle? And this bill certainly does give us at least an alternative to keep the issue alive, as opposed to having it just totally die for the sake of lack of time. And so I'm going to support it.
Allow the prime sponsor to speak last. Do other members wish to speak? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, thank you. I didn't understand the question from the representative from the college area around Fairbanks. I thought he indicated that he was opposed to this legislation because it would allow the executive branch to control the outcome of this legislation, and it was my understanding that it was Legislative Affairs Research Agency that would be doing work on the bill, and I thought we controlled that agency through our budgeting process, but maybe I misunderstood what he was referring to. If he could clear that up, I realized the second comment by that representative, but if he could clear that up, I'd really appreciate that.
Further discussion? Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to make it clear that this bill was not introduced as an alternative to any other bill that presently exists in the body. The purpose of this legislation was to ensure that at least some point in time, I had hoped it would be this session, but it wasn't, through no fault of my own, that the legislature deal with the concept of a uniform code of ethics. The language as it is in the bill with regard to the executive branch is a reflection of my request that the bill, when it was drafted, have a body outside of the legislature to be able to review the ethics issues and make recommendations with regard to them. At the time that the bill was drafted, there was no such body that came to the drafters' minds, and for that reason, they did identify the executive office. I would just like to remind the members that as a bill goes through the legislative process, the legislature, through the committee process, has the opportunity to make any changes or adjustments to any bill that they like. And it would seem to me that if we were to pass this legislation, if the alternative of having this entity established in the executive office was not acceptable, that the members would find another place to put it. So I don't think that's really an issue at all. I urge the members to vote yes.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall House Bill number 528, title amended, pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Mr. Hoffman. Clerk, lock the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
29 yeas, 10 nays.
House Bill 528 has passed the House on reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move that the roll call vote on final passage be considered a roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Unfinished business to come before the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Furness.
I want to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Bill 88. Let me double check here. Senate Bill 88.
Senate Bill 88. Notice has been given on Senate Bill 88. Mr. Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will meet 15 minutes following adjournment. We'll consider House Bills 590, 456, and 565. And then we'll meet tomorrow, either at 11 or 12, depending on how much we get through here today.
Mr. Gall.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements?
We are under announcements.
Thank you, sir. The House Judiciary Committee meeting, which is going to be held immediately upon adjournment, will be held tomorrow, immediately upon adjournment.
The meeting we held last night on subsistence was a very productive meeting. It took a lot of good testimony. And I think an opportunity... took a lot of good testimony, and I think the opportunity is there in this legislature to come to closure on this issue and to reach consensus. I would respectfully request that any members that have comments or wish to review the text of documents before the committee on the subsistence constitutional amendment, please let us know. We'll make sure you get your materials promptly, and we'd like to invite any member and all your staff to join us on Monday and keep up with this issue, which is of compelling importance to so many Alaskans. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Other announcements? Mr. Menard?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet at 4 o'clock. The bill that we will take up is the guide outfitter bill. It's in the committee. Thank you.
Other announcements? Mr. Taylor?
Under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker.
We're under announcements right
now. I know. I was trying to get onto the floor when you...
Are there further announcements? Mr. Finkelstein?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Ethics Committee is proceeding through deliberations on the amendments that have been submitted to date. There have been about 20 hours so far of hearings. The next meeting is going to be at 4 o'clock today. Anyone who wants to come present an amendment would be great. If there's anything you want addressed, please seek out one of the members here and give it to us in written form or otherwise, and we'll be glad to present it before the committee.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a House-Senate working group on House Bill 567 and Senate Bill 504, which deals with oil spill contingency plans and financial responsibility requirements. We're going to meet tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock to try to see if we can't reach some consensus on what ought to be contained in the bill.
Where?
House Resources.
I'll stand at ease for a moment. Back to order. Are there further announcements? Are there special orders? Mr. Kopanen?
Thank you. Under special orders, I'd like to speak on the significance of the day.
Without objection?
Thank you. I was looking through my hometown paper, and I saw this ad telling us that today was Workers' Memorial Day and listing a number of state employees who were killed in the line of duty. I remember the story about the factory trawler, which sank a little while ago with the loss of 9 people. And every time I'm reading through here, every week or so, it seems some worker is extremely injured or killed on the job. I think that it is a good reminder that we have something like Workers' Memorial Day, and I think it behooves us, as part of our duties as members of the legislature, to work not only to preserve the environment, but preserve the lives and health of the people who work for a living, who create that which we enjoy, and that we must pay due attention to the needs, the health, safety of those who work as we do, workers of hand and brain. And let us not forget those who have died and who have been injured, and let their injuries serve as a warning to us and a guide to us to think something to avoid. Thank you.
Are there special orders? Any other business to come before the House?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we rescind our action in allowing House Bill 210 to be taken off the floor and placed in Rules Committee yesterday.
Question.
Would you restate the motion? I'm not sure I understand the motion.
Yes, I'm moving that we rescind our action in removing House Bill 210 from the floor and placing it in the Rules Committee.
I don't think you can do that. We'll stand at ease for a second. House is standing. House, please come back to order. Mr. Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. With olive branch in hand, I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Under unfinished business, the chair is going to give an additional referral to Senate Bill 455. The bill's in the Rules Committee, has a fiscal note. It's going back to the Finance Committee. Any other business come before the House? Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move that the House stand in adjournment until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
We're adjourned until 1 p.m. tomorrow.